I'm Nick Harcourt, and we're here at the station, the SoCal Sound, and I'm very happy to say that I just met Genesis Owusu, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his music. Great to meet you.
Great to meet you, too. Thank you for having me.
So, I do the morning show here, and I get to pick some songs myself within the mix, and probably about 2 years ago, I think I first became aware of you, and we picked a track for our Fresh Squeeze track of the day, and it was from your first album. I know there's a new album out, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Mm-hmm. But maybe we could back up a little bit.
Sure.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about how music first came into your life. I know you grew up in Canberra, Australia, mm-hmm. which a lot of people from outside Australia wouldn't know.
It's
kind of like the Washington, D.C. of mm. Australia. It's where all the government stuff is, right?
Yeah.
The Australian Capital Territory. What kind of place was that to grow up? Because I know you emigrated there when you were a young kid.
Yeah. Strange, foreign, quiet, small. I think it's like around the time was maybe 300,000 people or something like that, maybe 400.
Right.
I was like, me and my family were the only black people I knew. So it was definitely like outsider status from the jump.
Right from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, but that turned out to be a thing that I learnt to turn into like a badge of honor. And it kind of, growing up like that, ended up molding like how I function and move through life in all aspects, especially with music, as it is just a form of expressing what my life is. So that outsider status has, really shaped how I make music and just trying to push boundaries and create something different, a new experience. But yeah, growing up in Canberra, quiet. But I learnt the function, the greatest function of that was like, it was like a blank canvas and that there wasn't a lot going on, but that just meant like I can paint that canvas whatever color I want, you know, at any time without too much noise or distraction to take away from that.
Well, you only know what you know as a kid, right?
Mm.
So if you're growing up in a place and you're surrounded by people who don't look like you, that's got to make you focus a little bit on yourself, yeah?
Yeah, it was kind of, it prompted me to learn who I was faster. It's when your identity is so foreign to what the majority is, I think you would question it faster. You're like, okay, you know, going to school, a lot of the people, like the only black people they knew at the time were like 50 Cent and Eddie Murphy. And it was like, okay, well, I'm not like a gangster and I'm not a comedian. So where do I fit in? Who am I really, inside and outside of my heritage and DNA? I think it pushed that train of thought from an early age into finding, who I really was as an individual.
So how did you explore that? Did you explore that through your cultural history? Did you explore that through music? Did you explore it through the written word?
Yeah, I mean, all of that. I think creativity came into my life as a whole. It didn't come as like music or fashion or writing. It just came as one thing. And all of those different mediums were just kind of tools that functioned in the same way. But maybe if I had an idea, I would realize that, you know, maybe this idea would work better if I wrote it on a t-shirt, and maybe this idea would work better if I wrote it in a poem, or, you know, it kind of just worked like that. So I explored myself through creativity and, you know, writing short stories and writing poetry and making music and doing clothes with my friends and stuff like that.
So I know fashion is a big part of your life, and you actually have a fashion line, right?
Yeah, something like that. It I've met a lot of my friends through creating clothes, and it's not, it turned into the clothes that we wear on stage. So we ended up just designing it and making those. So we haven't been making clothes for the public or anything like that, but it turned into, creating a little in-house unit where everything that happens on stage is like formulated by us.
So which came first for you, the written word, the making t-shirts, for example, or music? What was your first creative outlet?
First creative outlet was short stories when I was in primary school.
And what were you writing about?
Just stupid stuff. Just like the stuff like a kid would write about, like sci-fi, alien stories, aliens coming and abducting, superheroes. But then it would function and move into expressing what I was living. And that came more into the play when I moved from short stories into poetry and started, it kind of gave me a way to figure out what was happening. So like I would experience something and I'd have emotions and ideas, but it was hard to really digest what those actually were until I ended up writing them out in a creative fashion, and it helped me to understand myself better, which is why it kind of grew into an important thing for me.
Was it just a matter of time before music came along to help you tell those stories?
Yeah, I moved to music because no one wanted to read poetry. No one wanted to read poetry, so I gravitated to hip hop because I just thought of hip hop as, you know, poetry with a beat behind it.
So what music was around you? What was the music? You mentioned 50 Cent, for example. I mean, what was the music that you were listening to, music around the house? I know your brother also performs as a hip-hop artist as well. What was going on around the house musically?
Well, I was surrounded by music around the house. My mom was the leader of her church's gospel choir. My older brother, before he became a hip-hop artist, he was really into like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine, and he was a guitarist.
Right.
And he like had a bunch of like high school bands. My dad was just a general music appreciator, but also like an appreciator of the arts, I guess. So he'd just pick up CDs with interesting album covers. He wouldn't know what the music was.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it, I think, yeah.
He'd just pick up CDs with interesting album covers and just spin them throughout the house. And then immigrating from Ghana, there was still a lot of like Ghanaian high life music in the house. Bob Marley, Ray Charles, Michael Jackson. And then me being the youngest, I was kind of the converging point for all of those different things.
So what was the first thing you created musically?
The first thing I created musically was terrible first. but it was... The first real thing would have been a song with my brother. At that point, he'd transitioned from like the more rock genres into hip hop, and he was producing. He'd hijacked our family like computer room and turned it into his own studio.
Right.
And he was producing, and I'd always just like walk past, and he'd try and throw me beats because at the time I was just doing poetry. He'd try and throw me beats, and I was like trying to move out of the older brother's shadow.
So always
rejecting it.
Right.
And then at one point he wore me down and gave me an instrumental he produced on this really terrible MP3 player that I got for Christmas that I think was like, you know, maybe like $20 or something like that. And I wrote my first verse in a public bathroom when that beat came up on shuffle. In a public bathroom, and that's when I wrote.
That just happened to be where you were, or
yeah, that's just where I was. I was just chilling. That's just where I hang out.
I should point out that your brother performs under the name Citizen K.
Yes.
So, let's take it from there to deciding that this was something that you were going to do with your life, and making your first recordings. That ended up with your first album, Smiling With No Teeth.
Yeah. That process of the first song, I would have been in eighth grade, maybe.
Oh, wow.
So it just continued to be a thing that I was doing throughout high school,
and right.
just growing up. And so in a way, I kind of just like fell into it. Like I was making these tracks and then, you know, I hit puberty and it hit like a ton of bricks and I grew a huge beard at age 14.
Oh, God.
So I was doing like these shows at like pubs and stuff with my brother when yeah. I was like 14 on school nights. He'd get ID'd, I wouldn't. so I was kind of like living this double life going through high school. And I'd put out, you know, my songs on YouTube and
right.
SoundCloud and stuff like that. And back in Australia, we have Triple J, which is a youth national broadcast, one of the, you know, most influential radio stations in the country.
Yeah, and it supports Australian music.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the mission.
That's the thing, yeah.
yeah.
And they have Triple J Unearthed, which was like an online platform.
Discovery.
Yeah, yeah. Upload your music. And, you know, a bunch of people would listen to it, and if they liked it, then it would end up on the national radio station. They had, they have a competition every year called Triple J Unearthed High, where they listen to all the music from high school-aged musicians and pick the, you know, the top songs in the country for that year and just, like, yeah, spin them nationally on the radio. And I got in the top five in my 12th year, in year 12. So by the time I was getting out of school, it kind of like I already had a bit of attention.
Yeah.
And it kind of just felt like
I guess this is what I'm doing.
This is just what I'm doing. Yeah.
yeah. Was there ever anything else that you thought you might do?
No, I always thought I'd do something big. I had no idea what that was.
I like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I had no idea what that was, but I always thought I'd just like do something big. So when this opportunity presented itself, I just like, yeah, it just felt natural.
So tell us about that first album, and then let's jump forward a couple of years to the new one, because obviously there's a organic growth through school, through getting played on Triple J, through making your first album. Tell us
yeah.
about that.
So the first album came out in 2021.
Right.
So the story I just told would have capped around 2015. So the 6 years in between, I was just starting out my career, you know, meeting my manager and, you know, kind of just doing loose singles and EPs and stuff like that. But, you know, coming from where I came from creatively, storytelling and stuff like that, I always like yearned for a bigger platform to just make something expansive, tell a bigger story. And I guess just working my way through industry maneuvers or whatever at the time, I started out when it was already in streaming era, playlists, stuff like that. So I was seemed more focused on singles, put out a single every once in a while. And it was more focused on, yeah, getting on playlists, getting on, you know, getting played on radio and stuff like that. So it kind of was more focused on a single by single.
A much more sort of immediate thing.
Yeah.
Make the music, release
yeah.
it, promote it.
Yeah.
Onto the next thing.
Exactly. But I always loved albums. I always loved concepts. I always loved a grand like narrative from start to finish. And I kind of yearned to do that, which was where the first album came into play. I made it with a band of like ragtag, incredible musicians in their own right. I'd never met them before either. I told my manager, like, just throw me in the deep end. Like, I like this, I like this, I like this. I like working with bands. Like, help me put something together and let's just see what happens. So I met them all the day we started working on the album.
Wow.
And we met in this like den-sized studio out in Bondi in Sydney.
Love Bondi.
Yeah. And we worked for accumulatively 6 days.
Wow.
And we jammed for like 10 hours a day and recorded all the jams And then I went back and listened to all like 60 hours, picked out the timestamps of the jams I liked, and the whole first album is created from those jams.
That's amazing. Obviously, you gelled with these guys.
It very easily could have been a train wreck.
But the album came out, Smiling With No Teeth, and well, it did okay.
It did okay.
The Arias, which is the Australian equivalent of the Grammys, you picked up 4 trophies: Album of the Year, Best Hip Hop Release, Best Independent Release, and Best Cover Art as well. And I would imagine that when you get that level of attention, it's got to be a bit of a game changer, and perhaps buys you a little freedom for what comes next.
Yeah, I think definitely from a creative standpoint as well, because creating the album, I always created music just to my own standard. Like if I loved it and I felt challenged by it and I felt excited by it, then that was good enough for me, even if I thought no one else would like it. So I kind of just put out that album with that mentality in mind. So the fact that it was embraced so hugely by the Australian industry, it kind of felt like a game-changing moment culturally, because I'd never heard an album like that be embraced in Australia and by the Australian industry. So I feel like it bought me, and I feel like other artists in Australia, freedom creatively, because it finally felt like you didn't have to make this certain type of music to get recognized in Australia anymore. It's like you can be weird and you can be free and you can just make it good. And eventually, yeah, people will come on board.
You know, one of the things that I told you when we first met is that, you know, when we play the music on the radio here, it stands out. I mean, I love all the other music we play as well, but it's different. Mm. And I can only imagine, having lived in Australia many years ago, but understanding the Australian indie rock or indie music scene, that what you're creating really does stand out as something different.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that. And it was the case. It was just like whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, whether or not people would actually buy into it. But my experience is people are always looking for something new, something different. Mm. And clearly you found an audience there, and you started to find an audience overseas as well. And I know you've been busy. You were just telling me again before we started recording that you haven't really been home very much in the last year or so. Mm. So let's jump to the new album. And first of all, I know you made it in LA. Mm. But all those experiences in the last 2 years must be in the new work somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, in a kind of unexpected way. You know, I made that first album. We're still going through like COVID times. So, you know, I did that album. We experienced COVID. I did a bit of touring after that. And then it was like time to make the second album. So that the experience from the last like however long since the first album, the last 2 years, it influenced this next album in a kind of existential way, being like I had to grapple with the idea of a lack of time and like a time limit, which I hadn't experienced before. I felt like I'd put so much of my life into that first album, and then it was such a short gap, and now it's time to make the second album. And I had to, the whole way I've been making art, like I said before, is just up to my standard. It just has to be genuine and sincere and excite me and make me feel challenged and stimulated. Even though I knew I had to make a second album, I couldn't just make an album for the sake of making an album. Like, it had to be sincere and genuine. And obviously there was pressure from the first album doing so well, but most of the pressure was internal in just that, yeah, like art means so much to me and it just has to be authentic and real and has to come from somewhere. But I felt like a lot of the experiences had already been used. So it influenced the album by making me go out and reconfigure my mindset and the way I find inspiration and the way I look at life. I feel like I'd used all my real life experiences, so now I have to like maybe create a character and live their life or something like that. And like, you know, instead of getting inspired by other music, I'll get inspired by plays, I'll get inspired by books and art and things like that. So that's how the last 2 years inspired this new album.
It's interesting you talk about maybe finding a character. In the notes I was reading before our conversation today, first of all, the album's called Struggler, and it's described as a narrative journey. The you state is a story about a roach that runs and runs, trying not to get stepped on by God.
That's correct.
Maybe you could open that up for me a little bit.
Oh yeah, maybe.
please.
So I think on a personal level and on a universal level, I think we've just been living in such absurd times, through COVID, through, you know, back in Australia, we had these insane bushfires.
Yep.
My house almost burnt down.
Oh, wow.
You know, moving forward to today, I can go on my phone and go on TikTok and look at a war being live streamed. And it's like very absurd, and it kind of cemented, I guess, how out of control we really are in our circumstances, which can be quite daunting and challenging. But then I also looked at it from the perspective of, yes, all this is happening, but we manage to wake up every day and make it to tomorrow, even though in the grand scheme we're so small. These little bugs, these little roaches just like scrambling around. But the thing with the roach is it's a hard thing to kill. You think you got it and lift up your foot and it's crawling around still. Like apparently that's the roach is going to be the thing that survives the nuclear war, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of like us.
Be a roach.
Yeah, be a roach. Be a struggler, you know? Like we're in this world that's so huge and so looming and so daunting, and that's kind of where the God character in the narrative comes in. It's not any kind of critique or anything on religion. It's just the character that in is the metaphor for just the grandeur of the universe that we are in versus the comparative smallness of us. But despite having to go up against such a big adversary, I suppose, we just managed to make it to tomorrow every time. So it's really like a subtext of celebration of like the perseverance and the stubbornness of the human will to survive.
Yeah, I think if you're not aware of how difficult life is, you're not really living it.
Yeah.
For me, I get to the end of every day, and I don't know who I'm saying thank you to, but you know, gratitude goes a long way for me getting through a day.
Mm.
And then, as you said, getting up the next day, and here we go again.
Yeah.
But you made made this album in LA, and you told me you worked with a couple of producers. Tell us a little bit about the time frame and the time you spent in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I made this album, like I said, I guess in between touring the last album. So it's a much less linear story of like how it's created. You know, first album was, you know, had 6 days here to here, whereas this one I had to kind of find the time and pockets between tour stops. So most of it was in LA, some of it was still back in Australia, and you know, I just used the time that I saw when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, met some crazy people out here. Jason Evigan was a producer that produced, I think, 3 tracks on the album. Behemoth pop producer, like to the likes of like Madonna and Maroon 5, like
sure.
Level pop. And you know, he produced the first track, Leaving the Light.
Did you say devil pop?
No, I didn't say devil pop, but sure, you can say that.
What did you say?
I don't even remember.
Level.
Pop. Level. Okay. That level of pop.
Going deaf. Sorry.
Yeah, and then we just we got in the studio, and I got him to produce some weird, weird, freaky stuff,
right.
which was fun for him as well. Some other producers, Mikey Freedom Heart, Simon, who've all, you know, Nate Campany, and Kyle, Shira, all worked on amazing projects in their own right, with amazing artists. And yeah, I was very lucky to just to meet them and work on this album with them.
How do you then put all that stuff together? Obviously working at different times, different people, to make something that feels like it starts somewhere and takes you on a journey and ends somewhere.
So the thing with this album is I kind of went full circle. And before I even started the music, I wrote the short story, just like I did when I was a kid.
Got it.
I wrote the short story of the roach that runs and runs and runs.
Interesting. So that was already sort of there as the bones of the project.
Exactly. So the album kind of just became like, after I'd written this story, the album became, what would this story sound like? So when I went into every session, I already had this narrative to pull from and to lock the album together. And it was like it was a really interesting thing to do, because so much of it was just focused solely on getting this narrative out of my head onto wax. And, you know, I might make a really cool song with them in the studio, but it was like, no, this story is the most important thing to me. And I was just trying to make this piece of art that could stand beside like the stories and the plays that I was reading up until that point, the Metamorphoses by Franz Kafka and the Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett. Like, I wanted to make this story, and that was like the most important thing for me.
I know that you also read Camus as well. If you look at those three authors as influences, what is that influence? What do you get from those guys?
I think I love how they were able to take the mundane nature of life, the absurd nature of life, the unexpected and the expected, and just put it into a narrative that's just like so ridiculous. And I feel like there's a sadness and a melancholy, but also a dark humor in all of their works. Like Metamorphoses, for example, I read that and I thought it was so poignant when I read like the first few pages. It's this guy that turns into a huge bug.
Yep.
And
back to bugs.
Back to the bugs. And, you know, the first thing he thinks of isn't like, oh man, I'm a huge bug. Like, what is going on? The first thing he thinks is like, oh damn, how am I going to get to work? Like, what's my boss going to think?
Right.
And I just thought that was like so hilariously on point with how we are living in such an absurd society. Like, with all these crazy things happening, we just managed to just keep a one-track mind and just like keep it moving. And I think that was a quality that I appreciated in all of those authors and creators. They just like managed to take such a mundane and absurd at the same time essence of humanity and kind of show how ridiculous it is and show how absurd it all was in such a creative way.
So the album is called Struggler. I know that right now, as we're talking, you're doing setup, as we call it, promo. And then there's a US tour coming.
Yes.
When are you going to be in Los Angeles?
I'm going to be in Los Angeles November 6th at the Fonda Theater.
Well, we look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in and performing for us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
All good.
Yeah, leaving the light. always thought I was living a lie. Wasn't feeling it right. Always thought I was living a lie. Put my hand up on my heart, I beat my chest. The chaos moving down and down, seeping my flesh. The obstacles won't block my path, I see the test. They can try and swap me down, but I'm the best. Only know what you see from the outside. You can run, God laughs with his mouth wide. I won't die on my knees, though my hands tied. In the end, it's a roach versus a landslide. I better run, there's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run, there's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run, there's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run, there's a God, and he's coming for me, leaving the light. Always thought I was living a lie. Wasn't feeling it right. Always thought I was living a lie. Feeling a lie. Always thought I was living a lie. Wasn't feeling it right. Always thought I was living a lie. The past is always on the move. I ain't vanished. Crush me with your holy hell. I feel no damage. I could never stop my path despite the planet. The planet might be burning down. You know I manage green hills. I can see them smoking. Big smile as the flames approaching. I'm a beast. I can feel them poaching. Slap me down, but a roach keeps roaching. I better run. There's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run. There's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run. There's a God, and he's coming for me. I better run. There's a God, and he's coming for me, leaving the line.
Strike a pose.
Better man, caught and I'm feeling fired up, fired up, hot. law. Ain't no way to love y'all. I'm the struggler.
I can breathe these demons on my flesh.
The struggler. Ain't no way to love y'all. I'm the struggler. Ain't no way to love y'all. I'm the struggler. Ain't no way to love y'all. I'm the struggler. I'm a bastard, I'm a roach that a god is coming after. Just a vessel for a natural disaster. A demise is running, better run faster. If you kill me now, then a filthy crowd. Got a brand new crowd coming through. Now we feel the ground. If you kill me now, you gon' deal with roach number two. I said, stay blessed, stay blessed. You're killing me dead, my flesh be charcoal. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn best, now watch me sparkle. Stay blessed, stay blessed. You're killing me dead, my flesh be charcoal. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn best now. No guide, no knowing. When you're going through hell, you just keep going. Reality is showing. Hold the crust, I don't plan to be a martyr. Knowing I'm a monk and that's okay. This world absurd till we pass away. This cloak don't hinge on morality. You here, I'm here, didn't earn this mortality. Stay blessed, stay blessed. You're killing me dead, my flesh be charcoal. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn pest, now watch me sparkle. Stay blessed, stay blessed. You're killing me dead, my flesh be charcoal. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn best now.
I don't see, I don't know, I can see
where to go.
I don't see, I don't know,
I don't see where to go.
I can see.
Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn best, now watch me sparkle. Stay blessed, stay blessed. You're killing me dead, my flesh be charcoal. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I done been a damn best now, yeah. Stay blessed, stay blessed. I said, stay blessed, stay blessed. Huh. Stay blessed, stay blessed.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.